Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Brazilian police said 3 million people protested Sunday asking for the removal of President Dilma Rousseff. Brazil newspapers said the protests were the largest political demonstrations in the country's history. The protest took place in 200 cities and towns. The protesters asked lawmakers to impeach the unpopular president. Rousseff's political party faces a corruption scandal while the country is in its worst recession in 25 years. Sergio Praça is a political analyst at the Getúlio Vargas Foundation in Rio de Janeiro. He said, the nationwide protests were very powerful and were the worst scenario possible for the government. Officials are investigating Rousseff and her workers' party for their role in the corruption scandal at state oil company Petrobras. Prosecutors said more than $2 billion was paid in bribes and other funds by construction and engineering firms in exchange for inflated Petrobras contracts. Dozens of former Petrobras executives and political figures, including Rousseff's mentor, former President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, are under investigation. Some of the alleged corruption took place while Rousseff was chairman of the Petrobras board. Rousseff, whose term ends in 2018, said she will not quit. But the president and her workers' party are facing a new threat. On Saturday, Rousseff's main governing partner, the Brazilian Democratic Movement Party, said it is reviewing its alliance with the workers' party. Next, Bruce Alpert tells us about President Barack Obama's choice to fill an empty position on the United States Supreme Court.
President Barack Obama has nominated Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court. Garland, 63, is viewed as a moderate based on his 19 years on the Washington, D.C. appeals court. He is now the court's chief judge. He won Senate confirmation in 1997 by a 76-23 vote. He had been nominated by former President Bill Clinton. "This is the greatest honor of my life," Garland said from the White House Rose Garden. Garland worked for many years as a federal prosecutor. He led the team that prosecuted the Oklahoma City bombing, in which 168 were killed and more than 680 were injured. He also prosecuted American terrorist Theodore Kaczynski, known as the Unabomber. "Judge Garland is a brilliant jurist whom I've admired ever since he was my constitutional law student," said Lawrence Tribe of Harvard University's law school. "His modesty, humility, and moderation make him a particularly suitable choice for these divided times." The other finalists were Sri Srinivasan, 47, an appellate court judge who would have been the first Indian-American Supreme Court judge, and Paul Watford. Watford is a California federal judge and would have been the Supreme Court's second African-American judge. The Supreme Court has a vacancy because of the death last month of conservative justice Antonin Scalia. Court decisions will be made by 8 members until a 9th is confirmed. The stakes could not be higher. the court is divided between conservative and liberal justices. The newly appointed justice could change the direction of the Supreme Court for years. The White House said that Garland has had Republican support in the past and should again. But past support from Republicans might not matter now. Senate Republican leaders say they will not consider any Obama nomination. They say they want the next president to choose the Supreme Court nominee. They hope voters in November will elect a Republican president who would name a conservative to the court. On Monday, the Republican National Committee, or RNC, announced it will start running TV advertisements to oppose any Obama nominee. RNC Chairman Reince Priebus said Republicans plan to make sure Democrats have to answer to the American people for why they don't want voters to have a say in the process. Democrats said a president has a responsibility to fill a vacancy in America's most important court. It does not matter, they say, whether the opening occurs in a president's first year in office or his last. The White House said Monday that its supporters would start a campaign to pressure the Senate to vote on the president's nominee. Obama told CNN he was choosing a consensus candidate to replace Scalia. Democratic Senator Charles Schumer of New York said Senate Republicans would pay a political price if they do not consider the president's nominee. To say that there will be no hearing, no vote, no consideration whatsoever, even before a nominee is named to a vacancy, that is not doing your job. That is quitting before you start, he said. Some have called on Obama to name a woman to the Supreme Court. There are three women justices now on the High Court. Obama appointed two of them, Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan. Terry O'Neill, an attorney and president of the National Organization for Women, said the president should nominate a well-qualified person who is dedicated to human and civil rights. A woman, she said, particularly an African-American woman, would bring more balance to the Supreme Court. Life experience matters, O'Neill told VOA. If you understand in your gut what it means to wake up afraid about a missed period, it clues you in to the extraordinary damage of Texas's shutdown law for abortion providers. O'Neill was referring to a case just argued in the Supreme Court over a state abortion law in Texas. The law requires abortion facilities to meet tough new standards. Abortion providers say the standards are not needed and will shut down most health centers that perform abortions. Supporters say the new law protects the health of women. The High Court is said to be divided 4-4 on how to rule on that case. I'm Bruce Alpert.
Hillary Clinton moved closer to the Democratic Party's presidential nomination after winning primaries in four states Tuesday. The former Secretary of State easily defeated Senator Bernie Sanders in Florida, Illinois, North Carolina, and Ohio. After a surprise victory in Michigan last week, Sanders spent more time and resources to compete in Ohio and Illinois. The one remaining contest on Tuesday, in the state of Missouri, is too close to call. In her victory speech in Florida, Clinton said she was moving closer to securing the Democratic nomination and winning this election in November. she aimed her speech at Republican frontrunner Donald Trump. When we hear a candidate for president call for rounding up 12 million immigrants, banning all Muslims from entering the United States, when he embraces torture, that doesn't make him strong. It makes him wrong. The Clinton campaign also Tuesday released a Spanish-language ad in Arizona. The ad focuses on Trump and not on Sanders, Clinton's Democratic opponent. Michael Martinez is a political science professor at the University of Florida. He said Clinton's victories on Tuesday night were close to knocking Sanders out of the race. With the latest victories, the Associated Press said Clinton has 1,599 delegates. She will only need another 784 delegates to win the nomination. I'm George Grow.
Next, Kathleen Strzok has this week's Personal Technology Report.
If you cannot travel the world, why not travel the internet? GeoGuessr is a new online travel game. It teaches about geography while visiting places far and wide. The game is easy to play, but nearly impossible to win. GeoGuessr uses images from Street View from the technology company Google. After looking at an image, you guess where the photograph was taken. No matter how much you have traveled, you have not been to as many places as Google Street View. Its cameras have been busy taking photographs around the world. Images can be searched broadly, or by continent, country, or city. The program shows an image of a place and a map of the world. Some pictures are beautiful, while others look barren, without much plant life. But the mix of scenery is part of the fun and learning. You can zoom in or zoom out of images, or turn it around in circles. Images move forward and backward and up and down to identify locations. When you think you know where the photo was taken, click on the Google map to place your marker. Click on the Make Guess button on the bottom of the map. A new image will appear showing the distance between the area you chose and the actual location. GeoGuessr will tell how many kilometers away you were and how many points you earned. You get 5 chances to guess a location. After the 5th, you see a map showing your guesses, the correct locations, and the number of points you earned. Here are a few suggestions to help you identify what part of the planet you are seeing. Look around and see if you can find any words on signs to show the local language. For example, if both French and English are on signs, Canada might be a good guess. Look closely at the plants to see what the latitude might be. Palm trees may mean a more tropical climate. Make a note of whether the cars drive on the right or the left side of the road. If vehicles are traveling on the left, that narrows your guesses. Look at road signs. If the road signs use international symbols, the location probably is not in the United States. Very few places in the U.S. use international road signs. GeoGuessr can be played on a computer or a mobile device. you must be connected to the internet. The more you play the game, the better you will get at geography. Be careful, the game can get very addictive. The good news is, GeoGuessr is free, and you are unlikely to run out of places to see. I'm Kathleen Strzok.
St. Patrick's Day is a holiday that honors the patron saint of Ireland. In the United States, many people of non-Irish heritage will join Irish friends in attending parties and parades. Anna Mateo tells us more.
St. Patrick's Day is Thursday, but some Americans started celebrating 2 weeks ago. The city of Alexandria, Virginia, held its annual St. Patrick's Day parade on March 5th. So did three cities in New Jersey. The holiday is a big deal in America, and not only for the 33.1 million Americans who claim Irish ancestry. Many non-Irish Americans will join Irish friends in wearing green clothes on Thursday. Many will lift a mug of Guinness, the famous Irish beer. At a Washington, D.C. luncheon this week, President Barack Obama made a note of how big St. Patrick's Day has become. Now, it's true that it's not technically St. Patrick's Day, but that's okay, Obama said. Most folks who celebrate it aren't Irish either. The holiday honors St. Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland. Patrick lived in the 5th century. He was taken by pirates and kept as a slave in Ireland. After he escaped, he trained as a priest before returning to Ireland. Patrick preached and converted all of Ireland for 40 years, wrote Catholic Online. He worked many miracles and wrote of his love for God in Confessions. After years of living in poverty, traveling, and enduring much suffering, he died March 17, 461. Diarmaid O'Gillen is a professor of Irish language and literature at Notre Dame University in Indiana. He told VOA that St. Patrick's Day appeals to many nationalities because it is linked to immigrants or outsiders. The Irish came in large numbers and were Catholics, seen as outside the majority Protestant population, O'Gillen said. I think they found this space of parading their ethnicity and their identity, and this probably made the holiday attractive to all immigrants, he said. The Irish are known as great storytellers. It is the home of many wonderful writers, including James Joyce and Oscar Wilde. And at the St. Patrick's Day lunch Tuesday, U.S. politicians tried their best to tell a few stories of their own. House Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin talked to Ireland's acting president, Enda Kenny, about a recent family trip to Ireland. Kenny attended Tuesday's luncheon, as have many Irish presidents over the years. While we were there, we walked through a graveyard where our ancestors were buried, Ryan said of his Ireland trip. And as we were walking, we came across a headstone with this inscription: Here lies a politician and an honest man. And my son said, Wow, I wonder how they got the two of them in one grave. Many Americans will observe St. Patrick's Day with big parades. The largest is in New York City on Thursday, where crowds in the millions are not unusual. And don't forget about Ireland. The capital city of Dublin will also have a big parade on Thursday. The theme is Imagine If. Parade officials say it centers on the imagination of Ireland's youth as they look to the next 100 years. I'm Anna Mateo.
Our National Parks journey continues this week with one of the most popular and beautiful places in America, Grand Canyon National Park in the state of Arizona. The Grand Canyon is one of the seven natural wonders of the world and one of the largest canyons on Earth. It stretches for 450 kilometers. Parts of the canyon are more than 30 kilometers wide and 1 kilometer deep. Many writers have tried to describe the wonder of the Grand Canyon. They use words like mysterious, overpowering, and strange. But it is not possible to put human meaning to such a place. The Grand Canyon truly is beyond words.
Is this your first time at the Grand Canyon?
Yes.
And what do you think? Do you have a few words to describe it?
Beautiful, amazing.
What do you think of the Grand Canyon?
Oh, very huge and very colorful.
Do you have some words to describe what you're seeing?
Amazing, it's so amazing when I see it at the first look.
The canyons of America's Southwest are deep, ancient openings in the earth. They look as if they formed as the earth split apart. In reality, rivers formed these canyons. 40 million years ago, the Colorado River began cutting through the area around the present-day Grand Canyon. The river carried dirt and pieces of stone that slowly ate away at the surrounding rock. It left a pathway of enormous rock openings. At the same time, forces deep within the earth pushed up the surrounding land. Rain, snow, ice, wind, and plant roots rubbed away at the top of this new canyon. Below, the river continued to uncover more and more levels of ancient rock. Some of the exposed rocks along the Grand Canyon's walls are nearly 2 billion years old. They are among the oldest rocks on Earth, with many levels of granite, schist, limestone, and sandstone.
The Grand Canyon measures 2,500 meters from the canyon floor to its highest point. Because of its size, the weather at the top of the canyon is often much different from the bottom. On some winter days, for example, you may find cold winds and snow at the top. But at the bottom of the canyon, you may find warm winds and flowers. The Grand Canyon is home to some 2,000 plant species. Some of these species can only be found in the park. The park is also home to more than 370 species of birds, 90 kinds of mammals, and 40 kinds of reptiles. Many of the birds spend their whole lives in the Grand Canyon. Other species depend on the Grand Canyon for food and shelter during large migrations. The Grand Canyon was named a globally important bird area in 2014 because of the role it plays in protecting many species of birds.
Native Americans occupied the Grand Canyon 3,000 years ago. Bones, hair, feathers, and the remains of plants have been found in deep, dry caves high in the rock walls. The Hopi, Paiute, Navajo, and other Native American tribes
have all been in the area for at least 700 years. In 1869, American John Wesley Powell explored the Grand Canyon. He recorded much of what we know today about the area. Powell and his group traveled in 4 boats along the Colorado River. John Wesley Powell's reports and maps from the trip greatly increased interest in the Grand Canyon. But visitors did not begin to go there in large numbers until 1901. That year, a railway was built that reached the area.
Five million people visit the Grand Canyon every year. The first sight of the canyon can leave visitors speechless. Depending on the time of day, the sun lights up the rock walls in red, orange, and golden colors. The bright colors are the result of minerals in the rock. Their appearance changes endlessly with the light, the time of year, and the weather. At sunset, the canyon walls display fiery red and gold hues. Then they take on softer colors of blue, purple, and green. Most visitors walk along paths partway down the canyon. It takes several hours to walk to the bottom, and even longer to climb back up. Some visitors choose to ride mules to the bottom of the canyon. Mules are strong, sturdy animals that look similar to horses. Visitors can also explore the Grand Canyon in other ways. Hundreds of thousands of people see the canyon by air each year. They pay a helicopter or airplane pilot to fly them above and around the canyon. Thousands of people every year choose to explore the Grand Canyon by boat from the Colorado River. These trips last 1 to 3 weeks.
Most people who come to the Grand Canyon National Park visit an area known as the South Rim. That area has shuttle buses that take visitors to overlooks. Fewer people see the canyon from the North Rim. The North Rim is less than 20 kilometers across the canyon from the South Rim, but visitors must drive more than 350 kilometers by car from the South Rim to access the North Rim. Visitors can also see the Grand Canyon from a huge glass walkway called the Skywalk. The Skywalk is on the Hualapai Indian Reservation in the western part of the canyon. The Hualapai Indians built it to increase tourism at the reservation. It opened in 2007. The Skywalk extends more than 20 meters from the canyon's rim. It is suspended more than 1,200 meters above the bottom of the canyon and is shaped like a giant horseshoe. Many call the Skywalk an engineering wonder, but others have criticized the Skywalk and its development. They say it reduces the enjoyment of nature in the Grand Canyon. For visitors hoping to get a view of the entire Grand Canyon, they will have to travel well beyond the state of Arizona. The only place to see the entire canyon at once is from outer space.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.